This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a very good Thursday morning to you. Throwback Thursday nonetheless. What do we got in store for you today? Well, stick around. We've got it for you. What happened on this date? And we'll give you the year and the music that goes along with it. You know, there's one of these fascinating things in sports, and it happens all the time. In fact, we kind of never get sick of it, which is whenever a player leaves a team, whether he was traded without his wanting, or he was forced out, or whether he wanted out, whenever that player comes back to play for that, you know, against that opponent, we always wonder how the reaction's going to be. Right? Will they boo him? Will they cheer him? Well, last night, James Harden got to go to the Toyota Center and play against the Rockets in his new Brooklyn Nets uniform. And people started to analyze, hey, how's the crowd reacting? The problem is we're still in a COVID environment and hardly anybody was there. It's like 20% capacity. So the reports are that some people clapped and some people booed. Yeah, I need a full arena before I get some sort of indication on how the crowd is really going to react to a player returning. But nevertheless, James Harden gave the Houston fans that were there last night a show. He poured in a triple-double as the Rockets lose their 12th in a row and Brooklyn keeps on winning along with with Kyrie Irving. But nevertheless, one of the things that we love is this return home kind of feeling, right? And the Rockets have done everything that they possibly could to make James Harden feel like they will always have a place for him in a Rockets uniform or in a Rockets building, retiring his number, making him feel good. There was a tribute that was played to him. He spent 8 years there, and how he left may be a point of contention for a lot of people. But remember, there was a time where James Harden made the Rockets a very viable candidate for a possible run towards an NBA championship. Now, those 8 years kind of caught them at the wrong time when you talk about the dynasty of Golden State. But he did win an MVP. He won a ton of scoring titles. He poured in a lot of points while he was with the Rockets. How he wanted to leave Houston, how he kind of forced his way out, how he kind of did it, you know, will make people angry. It's not a J.J. Watt situation. It was a guy that was kind of actively trying to pursue a way to get with another team. But nevertheless, it was interesting to see the 20% react to James Harden's return. Throwback Thursday coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
The Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we are going back to 1993 because on this date, the ESPYs debuted. Now, the ESPYs were an idea that was obviously created by ESPN. Good marketing tool, right? To award extra awards in an industry that gives out all sorts of awards in any way. So it seemed kind of weird at the time, right? I mean, think about it for a second. You give out Grammys because nobody in the music industry gives out an award for best song or best album. So they created something that would get you to do that. But in sports, we give out MVPs all the time. We give out MVPs, Coach of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year. I mean, you name it. We've got a whole bunch of awards for it. And the ESPYs was trying to do something a little different. They gave out awards for like best play or best moment or best team. And they tried to make it so that some of it would transcend all the sports. So they did have a best NBA team, but then they tried to make it even larger than that. The idea seemed kind of ridiculous, right? I mean, back then, it's like, well, yeah, all right, so a guy wins an MVP and an ESPY? Is that how it works? But it worked. It's still around to this very day. And in 1993, it debuted. It was at Madison Square Garden. They moved it to Las Vegas, and they moved it to the Staples Center. There's still celebrities that attend. They still find a host, even last year when it was virtual. It's still kind of a big deal. Is it Oscars type of level where a career can be changed? No. But it's still in the sports world. I mean, it's still kind of stood the test of times. Plus, when you have a machine like ESPN kind of behind it and pushing it, you know, it's really not going to go anywhere. But it gave us one of the more important moments in terms of the sports world, in terms of charitable givings, when Jim Valvano gave this speech.
I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever. I thank you, and God bless you all.
And he gave that again on this date in 1993, and the V Foundation is still going strong to this date. And it's still, I mean, Dick Vitale, who partnered up with Valvano, I mean, they were coaches and commentator coach, and then they were commentators together. They were very, very good friends. Even in 2020, he gets very choked up when he talks about the late Jim Valvano, who I think passed away within a couple of weeks or something, or a couple months after that speech.
Yeah, it was very shortly after.
Right. So, I mean, it still touches a lot of people. There was some controversy around the ESPYs, of course. Caitlyn Jenner getting the Arthur Ashe Courage Award kind of split the public in terms of what that award actually means, and should it go to somebody like Caitlyn Jenner? But other than that, it's been kind of a fun show. I was trying to remember this, and I think they did this, but I may be misremembering. Was the ESPYs the one where back in the day you used to be able to call in your vote for a particular, like they would show you different highlights?
Yeah, well,
is that for the ESPYs, or am I thinking of something else?
I think you're right. There used to be a fan vote,
right? And so they would say, like, here's the best play of the year.
Yeah,
they would show you a bunch
of plays. Choose the best play.
Yeah, and then you could call in a number back then,
and then it became. Then the internet took off, so then you can just go online and click.
So you go online and vote. Now nobody calls those numbers anymore. Like, if you want to vote for Jim, call this number. If you want to vote for Lisa, call this number.
I don't even think they do that for, like, the other, like, the reality competition
like
shows,
Idol
like American Idol. I don't even think you call in for that. Remember, they used to give out a phone number and change the last number every single time. But now I think you just text or go online. Download the app.
I remember going to when I used to go to restaurants, and sometimes you would get the, hey, you've been chosen to do a survey, right? The waiter would, waitress would come and say, if you call this number, and you're like, I ain't calling a number.
Calling
it was fine.
Number.
How about this? I come back and I will order more food here to tell you if I liked it or not. How's that? How's that work?
Yeah, we don't call anyone anymore.
So you used to call a number, and then you would sit there and you would go beep, beep. You'd press these numbers, and then they'd be like, stay on hold if you wanted to win a chance for, like, you're like, I don't have time for this. Now, if you are chosen by a restaurant to do that, it's like, here, just go online and fill out the survey.
Yep.
And you can get like a free appetizer or something when you're done.
Well, now it's gotten to the point too, since no one calls. There, when you do want to call and you want to talk to a live person, there's no one on the other
end. There's nobody on their end. Damn, why pay somebody to be there when everybody
now
wants to go
a robot.
Online?
You got to go through 30 prompts, and you're just like, I just want to talk to a human.
Exactly. So again, the ESPYs, that's our throwback Thursday
you know the
today.
Best part about the ESPYs, it's always my favorite part, and it's always the first 5 to 10 minutes is just the highlight reel package.
Yeah, that's kind of what I like about it too.
And then I kind of lose interest.
Yeah, you know, listen, my sister isn't a sports fan, but she loves movies and she loves Oscar night. It's her big deal. She really loves it. She does a pool. She does her predictions. That's her thing. But like in the movie business, right? Or if you're a fan of movies and you're a fan of film. You know, maybe that seemed silly back when the Oscars first came around, like Best Picture. Who really cares? Like, you know, but now it's a career changer, right? Like if you win Best Director or Best Actor, that's something that's permanent on your resume. This is not the same. I mean, this doesn't transcend that. But at least there is a way to sort of take all of the sports and all of the moments and all of the athletes and say, hey, for one night, let's all remember what they did in this past year. Right. This, you know, in again, 93 in the Throwback Thursday, it was a March event. Now they've moved it to the summer. They sort of put it in that dead period of time.
Yep. Right around All-Star break.
Right around All-Star break. So there's something now that you can do and it can get more athletes to attend and be a part of it. So, you know, it works out fine for that audience. So it doesn't change your life like a Grammy would or an Oscar would, but it is, you're right. I mean, when they do the highlight reel, it's like, oh, look, here's all the champions. Here's all the moments. Here's the things I might have forgotten. Here's that cool buzzer beater in the NCAA tournament I freaked out about a year ago, and now I'm rewatching it.
I forgot it was this year.
Yeah. Forgot? Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing. Or, oh, yeah, I remember when the Miami Dolphins did this silly play at the end of the game or so. You know, little things like that that make you sort of remember the year. It's like a year in review slash yep. Let's honor some people. So Tiger Woods has gotten the most ESPYs of anybody. He's gotten 21, which is, I mean, it's amazing. I mean,
well, it's not Michael Phelps.
How many categories? Right, exactly. Like, how many categories is Woods in? Does he just win the golfer award every year? Athlete of the year?
Well, he probably won the golf award, male golf athlete
just
of the
constantly.
Year from like what 2000 to 2007.
Yeah.
And then, you know, every once in a while, he probably popped in and got the Male Athlete Award of the Year.
Exactly. And you know what's cool about the ESPYs now? It's like I said, you know, in the beginning, it would seem ridiculous that you'd give more awards to an industry that already is giving out awards. But now that we've had, close to 30 years now of this thing, you start realizing, like with Tiger Woods, when he debuted and came onto the scene and won the Masters, there's like an ESPY moment for that. There's like all yes. these things in 30 years that have occurred in sports. There's an ESPY moment for it. So it's now built its own history. Like I said, there's been controversies and whatnot, but it's built its own history. So there you go. On this date in 1993, the Jim Valvano thing though is I've said this many times about, and I feel like I say it every time they do like the Jimmy V Classic or they do something to remember the V Foundation, that it is amazing that foundation and what it stands for, it just continues to be strong. It continues to be something that keeps gaining momentum. I know Dick Vitale has been a big, huge, endorser of it, obviously, promoter of it, making sure people realize, who Jim Valvano is to a generation that didn't see him run around the court looking for somebody to hug and all of that. It's still amazing to me after all these years that is still it's still a real strong charitable organization.
Well, and that's one of the beauties of the ESPYs is that it gave that foundation a platform. Because I don't think it would have gone away, but it definitely wouldn't have the legs it has now without the ESPYs. Because every single year we're reminded of the because it's the Courage Award, right?
Yeah,
the
I think so.
Jim
right.
Valvano Courage Award, which is sponsored by the V Foundation Courage Award or however you want to call it. It gave it a foundation. So every single year we're reminded, it's almost like Jerry Lewis's telethon.
Yeah.
Every year we're reminded of this one cause. Oh, you know what? Yeah, it has been a while since I've donated. Let me throw some money at the Valvano, the V Foundation.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, by the way, every single recipient, except the one, it's always tough to watch.
Yeah, you're right.
It's always, exactly. It's always a tearjerker. It's always a very inspirational story. And, I do enjoy watching that one as well.
Jim Valvano obviously we remember him as a coach of NC State. When he was one of the reasons he had to leave NC State was there was a book called Personal Fouls that was written. And it seems kind of silly now, but back then the big reveal was, his kids were, selling some merchandise and didn't do so well in the classroom. Yeah, that was the big takedown of Jim Valvano. Like other than, that was really it. He ended up resigning from NC State and he became a broadcaster with Dick Vitale. But you know what was interesting part of Jim Valvano's legacy that I always thought this was very funny because I don't think you hear about this today. So there was this book that came out that was kind of revealing, had some revealing details about Chris Washburn, who played at NC State, and Valvano kind of, like what coaches do sometimes, to try to get you into the program, and let's whitewash some of these grades, and let's do all this. And his players were selling some gear on the side. I mean, again, today it seems ridiculous that you'd lose your job over that, but back then you did. And back then you drew the ire of alumni, even if you won a national title. But Valvano gets investigated by the NCAA and they clear him. They don't find really any wrongdoing. And one of the investigators writes a personal letter to Jim Valvano saying, I mean, he does this whole investigation. He does all these interviews with people. He does all of this, deep dive into the program. He writes a letter to Valvano that says, if I had a son, I would totally feel confident of you coaching him and him learning from you. Like, when do investigators do that ever to anybody? That It shouldn't happen even if you felt that way about the person you were investigating. But he felt so strongly about Valvano's personality and the way he, you know, coached and the way he was, the way people talked about him, that he just said, "Hey, by the way, I just want you to know, no hard feelings on this whole investigation thing. And my son, I would love him to play for you someday." That was Jim Valvano. That was the legacy of Jim Valvano. All right, coming up next, we'll get into the James Harden thing last night again. Very few people at the Toyota Center, but nevertheless, still people there. But the overriding story of athletes coming back to play for a team and why we're still fascinated by that. Plus, we've got Jim Boeheim ripping a reporter who he claims doesn't know any basketball because he's not tall enough. And Creighton coach Greg McDermott offered to resign after using plantation in a talk with his players. All coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with
it's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, a weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge, and if your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people will help you get the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. 1993, Throwback Thursday today. On this date, the ESPYs debuted on television. Like I said earlier, it would later be moved to July, but it used to be a March event to award the sports world with more awards. But still a pretty decent show. So James Harden returned to Houston last night, and I found it funny how many people were trying to analyze the audience or the crowd's reaction to Harden returning when there was hardly a crowd there. The Toyota Center is at 20%. Now, all right, it's not like it was 10 people, but it's not like it was 19,000 either. But we are fascinated by this. We do want to know when a player goes back to play for the first time against his former team, what the reaction is going to be. And it's something we do in every sport. I mean, it doesn't matter what sport it is. We just kind of, what is it going to be like when he gets introduced to the crowd at his old home stadium, his old home arena? And then you can judge based on the crowd noise, the reaction of the public to how that departure went. If you have a player like Harden who actively pursued his way out of Houston and kind of did some things like not showing up and being kind of fat, you know, whatever, well, maybe you get a reaction like boo. But if you wanted to just say, hey, I get it too, I'd want out of here as well. The team's rebuilding. Why waste your time? Go win a title. Why don't you go off somewhere else? Good for you. And you might cheer. It depends. Now, if you get traded unexpectedly and you end up in tears because, my God, I have no interest in leaving this state. Oh, my God, you're shipping me somewhere else. I didn't want to leave. And you'd get a standing ovation for crying out loud when you came back. But if you were throwing teammates under the bus, forcing your way out of a city, you'd get booed.
Well, I put it to you this way, right? I mean, we talked about this before, the mass exodus of Houston sports.
Exactly.
I unfortunately, you know, the Cardinals do play the Texans, but the Texans go to Arizona.
Yeah, they don't get to go to NRG Stadium.
If the Cardinals went to NRG Stadium and J.J. Watt is there, you might have like a 5 to 10 minute standing ovation.
Well deserved.
Yes, but Harden comes back. I don't even care if the stadium was full. I mean, it was. You would not get a whole lot of clapping and cheering.
No, I don't think so.
Because the way he left, that's why it's also kind of feels premature to say, "Oh, we'll retire his jersey," because those wounds are still fresh.
Exactly. Like, he gave them 8 great years. Don't get me wrong.
He was fantastic.
MVP, scoring champ, poured in all those buckets. I mean, in deep runs into the playoffs, had an opportunity to go to a title. That's right. A Chris Paul hamstring away from going to the NBA championship. But, yeah, the few moments that he forced his way out of Houston are not going to endear him to people. Because, listen, as fans, it's crazy. Like, if you're a fan of a team you kind of think that the people that play on the team are fans of the team, like you're a fan of the team.
Right.
And it's two totally different things. It's not even close. That is their employer. You are a fan because you're proud of the city, or you're proud of the region, or whatever the reason you are a fan of a team. That's a different emotion than I get my paycheck from these people. That's totally different, right? And you sometimes wish that they were a fan of the team like you are. Like, I'll play for free, or I would take the minimum to play, to wear the black and gold or the purple and orange or whatever colors you are. Well, they don't. That's not how they work. That's not how they operate at all. And James Harden was seeing a team that was like, well, you know, we're not going to be winning anytime soon, and I'm not getting any younger. There's no time machine, and I better figure out a way to get out of this. The way he figured out a way to get out of this isn't going to endear him to any Rockets fan whatsoever. There's a way to try to figure out your way out of a town, and there's another way to be like, I'll just do things in kind of a, you know, unprofessional way, to lack of a better term, that will get my wishes fulfilled. Look, there's, to be honest with you, the way the two James Harden and J.J. Watt left their respective Houston organizations are kind of the same in a way. I mean, J.J. Watt asked for and received a release, right? He wasn't shocked by it. He wasn't blown. He wasn't like, oh my God, what happened? What did I do? No, he went to the ownership, said, this is where I'd like to go. I don't have very many days left. This is what you guys are wanting to do with your team. I would like to go try to finish out my career somewhere with a chance to win a championship. Great. Harden was doing the same thing, but Harden showed up lazy, making comments, kind of throwing little clues out there, trying to force the Rockets to act on it, right? Whereas the Texans were like, yeah, you know, JJ, thanks for everything, man. Really appreciate it. They were there about the same time. JJ Watt was there 10 years. Harden was there for 8. But Watt felt like he could go to ownership and go, hey, can you do this? Can you do me a solid and get me out of here? And they went, yes. And Harden was like, you know what? I'll just show up lazy, fat, and I'll talk in code to the media until you figure out what I want. Those two totally different things.
Yeah, love the fat suit that he was wearing.
Right, exactly.
Because, I mean, I don't know. You and I have talked about it. We try to lose some weight. I've never shed that much weight and looked that fit in a week's time.
No, I did not.
So I almost think he had a fat suit underneath to kind of just like, look, I'm overweight. You don't want this.
And by the way, he's playing great in Brooklyn.
Oh, he's playing like he always does.
Machine.
Even throwing a little defense in there once in a while, which is
right,
you know,
which is very rare.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, must be a day that ends in a Z. It's that rare. James Harden playing defense, gave him a triple double last night. The Brooklyn Nets are rolling. I mean, rolling. Of course they are, right? But the Rockets lost their 12th straight game. Now I'm trying to remember. Wasn't it the other night Houston lost by 49 points?
I think they
lost to Memphis by 49 or something. I mean, golly, no wonder he wanted out of there. Can't win with that. Team lost. How do you lose an NBA game by 49 points? What was the basket, 22 feet high? Oh, my goodness. But now, I mean, I just found it amusing this morning that there were all these reports trying to analyze the 20% crowd participation at the Toyota Center yesterday to see how he was being received by the entire city of Houston. A scattering of applause and boos. Isn't that pretty much with everybody that's at these games? It's like, if you listen carefully, you might hear one person boo.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think I hear a cheer. I think it's coming from over there where there's 6 people in section 317.
Just someone way up in the rafters.
Way up the rafters.
Still,
family
still,
of three.
Still sporting the Harden beard.
Right.
The fake beard that they give out.
Beard. It is kind of too bad. The Rockets were always my team in the West that I was like, man, I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs. You know, they would run and they'd score and Harden and, you know, I mean, just Paul, whether it was Chris Paul, whether it was who was the other couple of guys that were on that team way back in the early times where they were rolling along. They were good. They were decent.
Well, that was part of that mass exodus we keep talking about, because Houston was on the verge of being a title town. I mean, the Astros won a World Series. Texans were making the playoffs year after year. The Rockets were going deep in the playoffs, and then 2020 hit, and it was just like, nah, we don't need any of that with you guys.
I know. Exactly. Exactly. All right, coming up, two stories in college basketball, two involving coaches and what they're saying next as we continue. It's Wicked.
Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
It is 1993. Earn a $5 rebate by trading up any contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters when it comes to taking your temperature. And Exergen temporal artery thermometers are backed by more than 80 published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com. Is this Spin Doctors?
Yes, sir.
All right, because I was thinking about this the other day. This is one of those songs that like appears on the radio, but I couldn't remember who sang it. And then it brought to mind. I was like, I think it was Spin Doctors.
Very, very 90s.
I was alive around that around this time.
Well, yeah, you were.
Yeah, so I was
only
I was
93.
I was awake and knowledgeable of the music scene. Almost, this is almost 30 years old.
My See, goodness. This in 93, dying. In March of 93, I was a junior in high school.
All right, so there you go. All right, so Jim Boeheim yesterday. I'm sorry if I'm going to find this funny. I find this funny. This
Not
is
do it.
This is old man funny. All right, this is as I'm getting older, this is like grumpy old man funny. Please, so forgive me. Now, Ron, you may not find this funny at all. You may actually find this like he needs to apologize. But I find this funny. So Jim Boeheim, Syracuse won by 10 last night over Clemson. And after the game, he was asked by the Athletics' Matthew Gutierrez about the defensive growth of two of his players, Alan Griffin and Quincy Guerre. And Boeheim said, quote, I think they're getting better. They still need to make, they still make some mistakes, and that's normal. I think our whole team has gotten better, and it hasn't been but it hasn't been as good as we needed it all year. I think we have gotten better as a team. I think it's hard to go 9-7 in this league. This is a difficult league. Very difficult. I think these guys have done a great job this year. Then he was done. And so much so that the media relations guy even was ready to call on the next question. But Boeheim wasn't done. After that pause, he said, but if I played Jesse and Kadre, we'd probably be 22-2. And I didn't see that, couldn't figure that out by myself after 45 years. I need a reporter to figure that out who's never played basketball and is 5'2". So why did Jim Boeheim say this? All right. And you're speaking of Jesse Edwards and Kadre Richmond, two of his other players. Why did he say this? Well, it's possible, it's being speculated that the reason that he said this was because Gutierrez back in March, a couple days ago, well, back in March, March 1st, he wrote in on Twitter that if Richmond and Edwards had played the minutes they deserved, Syracuse would probably be around 17-5 overall this season and in the big dance. What a difference they provide. Is Jim Boeheim at 74 years old reading, 76 years old reading Twitter? Like, is he on Twitter following the reporters that cover his team on a daily basis?
No, let's be real. He has people.
Yeah, right? Or is his people telling him?
He's got to have people. I can't imagine him sitting there like you and I sitting there scrolling through Twitter and coming across and, you know, him finding something about, you know, oh, my name is mentioned. What are they saying about
yeah,
me? I can't imagine that.
That's why I'm finding this funny, because I can just picture Jim Boeheim going, Oh, look at that. I better make a mental note of that quote. I don't know about that one. I better be careful of that one.
Him.
I'll remember him. Next time he asks a question, I'll get right back at him. I'll comment on his lack of knowledge of the game and his height. That's Boeheim for you. 76 years old. This is cranky old man Jim Boeheim. I mean,
he does have a Twitter account.
I don't even know if Matthew Gutierrez is what size he is. I mean, was he in? They're not doing it in person, are they? Are they?
No, they still got to be doing. Are they still doing Zoom?
Does he know him that personally? That knows he's a short guy. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it is. Is he exaggerating the 5'2"? What if Matthew Gutierrez is 5'10"? Right.
Thanks for certain. He may not be 6 feet.
He's probably not 6 feet tall. Right. He's probably not 6'3". Right. Boeheim taking it personal that somebody on Twitter challenges. What industry does he think he's in after all of these years? He has been the head coach at Syracuse since 1976. Let's put that in perspective, people. 1976. Carter got elected president. Jim Boeheim, as a young man, was the head coach of his alma mater. He's been there ever since. He's the only coach I've ever known at Syracuse. I used to root for Syracuse when I was a kid. I rooted for Jim Boeheim. Here I am. I've got a kid in college, and I'm still rooting for Jim Boeheim to be successful in some capacity. Again, 76, he still looks pretty good for 76. It's a good, you know, it's like the new 70 is the new 50, right? Is that what it is? He looks pretty,
sure.
Looks pretty decent.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
He looks pretty decent.
If the 70s is the new 50, then does that mean the 40s are the new 20s?
Right.
I'm all for that, too.
Yeah, no kidding. How many 76-year-olds do you know perusing Twitter every single day, making sure?
Not many. I mean, there, you know,
there was one we used to know who was very popular by half of the population.
That crowd
on Twitter a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't have one anymore.
Right.
But that crowd, that 70-plus crowd, they're Facebook. That's a Facebook group.
Exactly. That's commenting why the young people aren't doing Facebook anymore.
Yeah, they're commenting on your photos from a couple of years ago saying, oh, my God, you look great for your age. Like, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, they're not getting sarcasm. Little things like that. They reach out with what's wrong when you put that vague tweet that's a vague text and something's amiss in your life. But Boeheim going after this reporter, you know, you just – I found it quite amusing. But nevertheless, he's probably going to have to apologize. That was kind of rude. I don't think that tweet that Gutierrez wrote was overly critical.
You may say Boeheim should apologize, but he's never going to.
No.
He's got the old man syndrome. You can say whatever you want. No repercussions.
76-year-olds do not usually apologize.
No, and that's what we're striving for.
Exactly.
That's what we want to be. We want to get to that point where we can say whatever we want and no repercussions at all.
Exactly. Go to a restaurant, burp, nobody cares. Yep. People go, oh, Dad, stop it. What are you doing?
You know, you're there at the deli counter, passing gas.
Right, yeah, passing whatever. Gas. Oh, Grandpa, what are you doing? And you're just like, what do you want from me? I'm 76.
Natural.
This is what happens.
All humans do it.
I have made it to this point in life. I get to do pretty much whatever I want.
Yeah.
So.
Say whatever I want.
Yeah, I get to say whatever I want, criticize people for their height, right?
Yeah,
that's still a thing.
That's who Get Off My Lawn Guy is.
That is exactly who Get Off My Lawn Guy is. That's Jim Boeheim saying, get off my lawn, right? I'm not playing Jesse or Cadre any more minutes. I don't care what you think our record would be. I'm not. Right? That's not how we're rolling here. We're 9-7 in the conference. That's good enough.
It'd be great
it's a
if
tough
he just
league.
Walked out of the Zoom and said, you know, you think you can do better? Come coach.
I was at a Jim Boeheim press conference in Denver during the NCAA tournament, right? So they had just advanced. They were going to the Sweet 16. They were leaving Denver. And Alabama, I think, had beaten Duke or something. It was like Duke was eliminated, and they were playing the team that had eliminated Duke, right? And somebody asked him flat out. They were like, it was kind of a silly question, to be honest with you, because I just don't think you ask coaches. Like, I don't think coaches are going to openly tell you that they're more excited about playing an 8 seed than a 1 seed, right? But he told the kid flat out, he goes, look, if they can beat Duke, they can easily beat us. So we don't think we have a pass. And I thought that was a great way to put it, because we tend to believe, like, that these coaches think the way we think, right? Oh, now you're the favorite to get out of there. But he's like, no, why would we be? They just beat the number one seed in the tournament. But he was really curt about it, but he was curt about it in a way like your professor would be. Like I'm teaching you something, young man, kind of way. And that was 2004, so he wasn't even at the 76-year-old phase of his life yet. He was still kind of grumpy. One other serious side of it, though, is Creighton's men's basketball coach, Greg McDermott. Now, in a post-game speech or a speech that he had given to the players following a loss, he had said to his team that he wanted them to stay on the plantation. He said, quote, after a loss to Xavier over the weekend, he said, guys, we got to stick together. We need both feet in. I need everyone to stay on the plantation. I can't have anybody leave the plantation. He immediately recognized those were hurtful comments. He apologized to Creighton's president. He also apologized to his team, his assistant coach, Terrence Rencher, who is black. He offered to resign his job, although the school did not want him to resign. He was very apologetic to just about anybody that he wanted, that felt like he needed to apologize for. It ended up costing him a game. It felt like there was a distraction. They were having a game against Villanova. Creighton is ranked too, a very good season. And, they lost to Villanova. It might've been a distraction, but his teammates, you know, he said that he saw it in their eyes that they were hurt. The team was hurt by the comments, but they did support his coach, during pregame warmups. They gave him fist pumps and whatnot, but offering to resign, Greg McDermott did, to make sure that something like saying something like this that got away from him, that he was willing to take the penalty for that. But the school said no. Look, I'm one of those people that I hope that he can overcome this. I hope that it wouldn't have cost him his job, but he did make sure that he apologized and made sure he, you know, said all the right things. I would have hated to see him lose his job because he's done a good job. Players like him. Players like playing for him. He's a very good coach. He's been very good at Creighton for about 10 years that he's been there, 11 years that he's been there. But, you know, it is sometimes you give these speeches and sometimes things get away from you, and sometimes you say things that you like going in a direction and it's being misconstrued. This wasn't misconstrued. This was a poor thing to say. This was not the right analogy to make to his team and to his assistant coaches and everybody else. And he should have been aware of that. Like, that's not a slip of the tongue. That's a choice of description that was coming out of his head, and his brain should have stopped that immediately. Once he saw the hurt on his kids' faces after he said that, he realized he had made a mistake. I was kind of hoping his brain would have realized that was a mistake the moment it came out of his mouth. Nevertheless, he's going to stay at Creighton, and the team is obviously are in a process of forgiving him. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Michael already, Jim Boeheim started coaching at Syracuse a year before Tom Brady was born. Yes, let's there put it go. Even more perspective how long Boeheim has been at Syracuse.
And you know what? Brady has more rings.
That's right. All those years at Syracuse, one championship.
Yep.
One. I know it's hard to win the NCAA tournament, but one. 2003 with Carmelo Anthony. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, this is 1993. On this date, the ESPYs were launched on television. This is the remake of the Harry Chapin song. Who does this?
Ugly Kid Joe.
Ugly Kid Joe is right. Exactly. Was this a hit?
Yes, it was.
Was it? Wow. Song's kind of sad.
It is.
It is a sad song.
It reached, on this date in 1993, it reached 27. And I think that's the peak. Yeah, it peaked at 27 on the Billboard charts.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new home? Rocket can. All right, so as many of you have heard, I never talk about it on the show, I love Formula One racing. And this offseason, what teams do in Formula One is they release their car. They have these launch parties, and they basically redesign the car, and they have a new color scheme. Some of them have new color schemes. Some of them don't do anything at all. They go, here's our new car, and it looks the same as last year. But some of they do a big show. It's a big unveiling, and it's a big – they have, you know, maybe a celebrity commentator that comes and does it, and they talk to the drivers. Basically, like if an NFL team in its preseason had a special, right, where they just told you all the exciting things that are coming their way for the upcoming season. So yesterday, Aston Martin, who is a new team, they're kind of a new branded team, launched their car, and they had a James Bond feel to it because Aston Martin, that's the car James Bond drove. Daniel Craig, a woman, Gemma Arrington, was the commentator for it. And even Tom Brady really sent a video to Aston Martin to wish them luck for the upcoming season. But I learned something. Now, I watch these because I'm a racing fan, but I learned something. I had no idea a new James Bond movie was coming in September. No Time to Die.
Well, it got pushed back. It was supposed to come out last year.
I didn't even know it was coming back.
Oh, really?
Coming last year.
That was one of those major
blockbusters.
Well, it was one of the major blockbuster films that kept saying, oh, no, we're going to push it back.
Because of COVID, right?
Yeah, it was up
there. So I may have known it and totally forgot about it.
Yeah.
Because I was maybe it did so just got released. Excited when they brought this up in the video, like the video I was watching. So I don't watch it live because it's like a, you know, it's in England for crying out loud. But I love James Bond movies. How did I miss this? That in September, a new one is coming out.
Yeah. And I think it's, Daniel Craig's final Bond movie.
Now that I knew, right, that he was going to do one more before they were going to go in another direction. They talked about, there was even talk about a female James Bond, which was, you know, I thought James Bond was the consistent character. I didn't think it was a title that you just gave to different people. Thought he was the consistent guy.
Well, I think the next James Bond could be Idris Elba.
Oh, that's right. That's right. His name was up for Bond.
Yeah.
Bond franchise is really impressive. I mean, that it's still going strong.
It'll never die.
It'll never die. Movie franchise is that like consistent enough that it's been around before I was born and I was over the moon that a new Bond movie was coming out.
Well, no one else, because if you think about it, like, you look at Mission Impossible, right? You could easily keep doing Mission Impossibles.
Right.
But the problem is that it's always going to be Tom Cruise, and it's kind of become the Tom Cruise film. Could you find another one to play Ethan Hunt?
Good point.
Eventually,
right.
You probably could.
Eventually, you probably have to.
There's rumors with Indiana Jones, the Indiana Jones franchise, that they're going to switch it up. And maybe that's who Shia LaBeouf was going to be, but that tanked.
We're talking about a movie franchise that's, what, 60 years old?
Easily, yeah.
Right? From the early 60s with Sean Connery up until now? So, I mean, they made a big splash about this new Bond movie. So, obviously, there was a tie-in to this car launch. But I couldn't believe I missed that news that a Bond movie is coming in September. I was over the moon thrilled. So, Wake Up Call continues. We got Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up next hour.